Thanks for everyone coming out this Saturday night in Salt Lake City. And thanks for all those who download these talks as podcasts on iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class to become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and charge of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we're going to talk about doors and doorkeepers, and I thought of a joke that has something to do with the doors. A man who'd never been out of Appalachia went to St. Louis for the first time with his wife and young son, never been to the city before. And they went to the mall. They'd never been to a mall before either. Looked here and there and googled and ogled all the contraptions and all the technology they were seeing for the first time. His wife went off one part of the store, and he and his young son came before this big metal door with a bank of lights above it. And as they stood there wondering what it was all about, an old lady with a wheelchair and gray hair pushed a button, wheeled herself, door open, she went in. Door closed. All kinds of lights, bing, 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 bing. A few minutes later, the door is open, and a beautiful, young, 24-year-old blonde walked out. The man said, "Son, go get your mother." Today, we're going to talk about treating everyone with respect. God doesn't send people to cross our path randomly. There's a reason why we intersect with each and every person. Someone to introduce you to someone else, or to put in a good word for you, give you good advice. There are many people who are orchestrated to cross our path, and they're not always who we would anticipate. Instead of the boss, it could be the intern. Instead of the friend with all the connections, it could be the clerk at the grocery store. Instead of the head coach who you'd expect it to be, it might be the bat boy. Many times our doorkeepers come in various kinds of disguises. In our culture, we have a saying, Atiti Deva Bhavan. Always treat any guest who comes to your door with the utmost courtesy. Even if you yourself have nothing lavish to offer them, at least give them good words, offer them a sitting place, and a glass of water. Why? Because you never know when that guest at the door may not be God Himself in disguise. Just to test how you treat people. What we learn from this is never to be too busy for people, quote unquote, underneath you. Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, 500 years ago, in spreading the gospel of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, knocked on each and every door, not considering who was fit or who was unfit, who was a suitable candidate, who was unsuitable. They just went down, knocked on each and every door. And when the person would open the door, it would fall right through the door, offer their dandavats flat out like a stick and say, "Please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare." In the previous incarnations of Krishna, as Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, Parasaram, you had to be qualified. And if you weren't qualified, Krishna would be vinashya to duskritam. You might be in the category of those who were to be annihilated, just like bad weeds are pulled up in order to make room for the good plants. But in this particular age, Krishna has come as the most merciful avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Maha Badanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Why is he the most merciful? Because he's giving free of charge what previously was not even available to great saints and sages and kings and philosophers. Is freely available to anyone who will take it in this age of Kali. And what is that most precious gift? Pure love of Krishna. It's to be distributed to anyone and everyone without discrimination of gender or caste or social status or nationality. Anybody can be elevated to the highest platform just on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Doesn't matter how black their background, how low their birth might be, how lacking they might be in education. Doesn't matter how dark the past may have been, What matters is that the blazing light of the holy name of the Lord, Sujanti Tajmai Prabhavishnave Namaha, the name can purify. Just like a beam of light can illuminate the most impenetrable darkness, the darkest room is immediately illuminated by a beam of light. Don't deny people the time of day. Treat everyone, the ticket seller, the baggage claim clerk, the parking attendant, with respect and honor. They're brought across your path for a reason. They may have an idea that will thrust you forward or introduce you to someone who will open a door. Or it may be a test. Krishna wants to see how you treat people that you don't think can do anything for you. Bottom line is, if we're familiar with the law of karma, what goes around comes around. You get what you give. If you'll treat everyone like a doorkeeper to your destiny, one of them at least will be. David Livingstone, the 19th century missionary and explorer, he was eager to travel into the uncharted lands of Central Africa to preach the gospel. On one occasion, he arrived at the edge of a large territory that was ruled by a tribal chieftain. He was instructed to stop at the perimeter and wait. According to tradition, the chief would come out to meet him there. Livingstone could only go forward after an exchange was made. The chief would choose any item from Livingstone's personal property that caught his fancy and keep it for himself while giving the missionary something of his own in return. Livingstone had few possessions with him, but he obediently laid them all out on the ground, his clothes, his books, his watch, and even the goat that provided him with milk. See, he had a chronic stomach problem that kept him from drinking the local water or cow's milk. To his dismay, the chief took the goat. And in return, the chief gave him a carved stick that looked like a walking stick. The Livingstone was very disappointed. He lost his goat. He had no means of hydration, practically speaking. Couldn't drink the water, couldn't drink the milk. He began to gripe to God and to his entourage about what he viewed as a stupid walking cane. What could it do for him compared to the goat that kept his health up? And one of the natives explained, that's not a walking cane. It's the king's very own scepter. With it, you will find entrance to every village in our country, and you will be honored as a representative of the king. The king was much more of a doorkeeper than he thought at first. Simply, it says we need to search out a doorkeeper. If we want to go from this world of death to the world of eternality, mritam mad amritam gayo, tamasho mad jyotir gamaya, if we want to go to the world of darkness to the world of light, asato mad sadgamaya, if we want to go to the temporary world to the eternal world, we have to have someone to open the door from the dark world of death and temporality to the effulgent eternal world. That world is no need of sunlight or moonlight. It is self-effulgent by nature, and it is eternal. William Blake said, O sunflower, weary of time, who countest the steps of the sun, seeking that sweet golden clime where the traveler's journey is done. Bhagavad Gita tells us, try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, a doorkeeper. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can open the door to you because he is seeing the other side. I went to India in 1969 looking for someone who would open the door to self-realization, yoga, spirituality. But there was no internet, there were no cell phones, there were no websites. It was all just hit or miss, and I missed. Didn't hook up with anybody who I would consider a doorkeeper at the time. Went on then through Malaysia and Singapore, Indonesia, and finally came to Australia. I was pretty much out of money by then, and so cynically I thought, I'll work for 6 months in Australia, earn some money, and then I'll go back to India, or maybe I'll go to Mauritius or Bali, some other interesting place. I was in Australia not for spirituality, just for money, nothing else. I had no other expectations. You can imagine my surprise when I'm being spewed out of the subway downtown Sydney, George Street, Wynyard Station, on a winter afternoon when a splash of color caught my eye, I looked, and there was a Westerner dressed similar to the way I'm dressed today, with a kurta, a dhoti, short hair, sikka on the back, and tila. This doorkeeper I met, whose name was Upendra, was a great cook, a great musician, a great kirtan leader, as well as a great lecturer. My point is that Australia was the last place I would have expected to find someone who would throw open the door, answer my prayers. Downtown Sydney was the last place that I would expect. And yet, Krishna never acts in a way that you can predict. You never know who's ordained to be your gatekeeper, nor do you know when or where they're going to come along. In 1975, I was on the BBT library party, and our job was to crisscross the country in vans and get sets of Prabhupada's books placed in college libraries. The library would order the number of books that are published, about an $800 investment, and then they would issue a standing order that any future book that would be published would automatically be sent and they'd be billed for it. We would arrive on campus about 8 o'clock in the morning, and by noon we would have sold a set of books to the library, just a matter of going out and getting some reference cards signed by some professors of world religion or anthropology. And then we would be on our way to the next KOA, and the next morning we'd be at another college. Every once in a while, one of the professors to whom you would visit and give a professor recommend card would take a set on his own. It was rare, but it happened. The most we'd ever sold was at Dartmouth and Harvard. I did the Dartmouth with one other devotee. There were three libraries on campus, about each campus, and in each campus, three professors took sets. So three sets to professors, three sets to libraries. That was the most we'd ever done. A two-man party came to Brigham Young University, consisting of Mahabodhi and another devotee named Gyanasham, who later became Bhaktitirtha Swami. They arrived on campus at 8 o'clock in the morning, but they weren't gone by lunch. Nor were they gone by lunch the next day. Nor were they gone by lunch the next day. They spent three full days on campus and sold 18 sets of Prabhupada's books. There was a theologian, he's passed away now, but he was the most respected theologian in the LDS community for many years. His name was Yu Nibley. What had happened is he took a set himself, and then it was just dominoes. So I never met the man, but he's the reason I'm here in Utah. He's the reason that you're sitting here. He's the reason we have this building and the reason it's Spanish Church. He's our doorkeeper. Someone we have not expected and someone who we've not even met. Nevertheless, he threw open the door to wonderful Krishna conscious communal activities here in the state of Utah. Another story that has to do with doorkeeper. Someone who became my best friend in the world. He's also passed away. He was kicked out of Uganda by Idi Amin and arrived in America with nothing. All he could do was get a little lease on a little shop on the ground floor of the Transatlantic Life Insurance Company in downtown Los Angeles. And he sold some mints and some packets of cigarettes and burritos and things like that. Although there had been a temple, a Hindu temple, in his home village in Uganda, and he'd attended it, there were no teachings. He didn't get any real moral direction in his life, so Pranjivan would have been described by his peers as probably the life of the party. He knew how to put back a beer or two. He ate meat. He had all the habits which are anathema to pure spiritual life. Now, in fact, one evening, he's coming home from work. They just had a shabby little apartment downtown LA on Oxford Street. And he's climbing the stairs. Pranjivan is about this high. He's about 4'10". He's climbing the stairs with a six-pack under his arm. He comes to the landing, reaches for the doorknob of his flat, and the door opened in, and he saw the midriff of a devotee. His name was Sri Govinda. He had come visiting. He looked in the phone book for the Patels and the Shahs and the Popets, and he had come earlier. Pranjivan's wife had invited him to sit down, have a glass of water or juice, and wait for her husband to come home. So when he heard the steps, the sound of the footfalls up the stairs, he anticipated Pranjivan, and he opened the door. Now, Sri Govinda is very, very tall. Pranjivan, with a beard, looks, and he sees his midriff, Healy sees there's no belts, there's no jeans, there's no shirt tucked in. He just goes up and goes up and goes up. And then he sees a white face, a Western face. And then he sees a very good-looking face. And he sees Tila. And he goes, that was the last time he ever drank beer and the last time he ever ate meat. He became, I swear to you, a pure devotee of the Lord. 10 years later, he went to a Harinam party at a home. He never sat down and chanted. He always got up and moved around the room and inspired many, many people to chant along with him. He went home that night and had a heart attack and went back home, back to Godhead. So that devotee literally was his door opener, Sri Govinda. And I learned during the 10 years that I knew Pranjiva how much of a door opener he himself became. He was so clever in engaging people in Krishna consciousness. His most often used and successful ploy would be anywhere, of course, in the temple or in the home or even anywhere else in the business. He would keep a couple of Bhagavad Gita's with him. And after exchanging pleasantries and hellos and how are you, he would say, can we sit for 5 minutes and discuss Bhagavad Gita? Now, who's going to say no, right? Especially from India. So many people he got to sit down, 5 minutes become 10 minutes, 10 minutes become 20 minutes, 20 minutes become a half an hour, and they become devotees, the whole family. It's so easy to be caught up in what we're doing, that we dismiss people. We don't have time for them. We're above them. They're under us. They're not important. They may be parking the cars or answering the phone. I'm in management. They're in maintenance. I'm staying at the hotel paying $100 a night, and she's just cleaning my room. Some robbers and murderers many, many hundreds of years ago in Bengal needed a human sacrifice to their goddess Durga, to whom it was customary to offer flesh. And occasionally, so much in the mode of ignorance, and so criminally minded were they, that occasionally they had wanted to offer a human sacrifice to the goddess Durga. And so they found the most oafish, retarded person who they thought he wouldn't even know up from down, right from left, forward from back. They tied him up, put him on the altar to offer as a blood sacrifice to Mother Durga. But they had made a fatal underestimation, because this was none other than the great Jag Bharat. In his previous life, he had fallen down due to bad association, and so in his next life, he made a vow, I will not have any attachments, I will not form any associations, I will simply wander and disguise myself as a deaf, dumb, mute. Krishna knew who he was, and when they raised the chopper, Durga herself, who is the servant of the Lord, became animated, and she came off the altar, and with her many hands she slew all these rascals. Later on, that same Jag Bharat was walking along a highway somewhere in what is now known as Siberia, and an arrogant king named Rahugana came by. He was carried by four strong men on a palanquin, but one of the men had a foot injury and had to be replaced. So Jag Bharat was big and strong. He said, you come and carry the palanquin. No sooner were they underway again, though, than the ride got very bumpy. And he said, what's going on here? Stop! Discovered that Jag Bharat didn't want to step on any ants. He was avoiding the ants while he was going carrying the palanquin. The king said, you idiot! You disturb my comfort? Do you have any idea who I am? Though he was mute up to that time, Jag Bharat said, yeah, I know who you are. You're an eternal spirit soul. And you're in a body of blood and pus and stool and urine and bile and mucus with mustaches and hair. And you think you're a hotshot. You think you're something really special. Actually, you are a divine spark, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God, as am I, as are all living beings. And if you had any knowledge at all, if you had any claim to superiority, you would know at least that all living beings are equal from a spiritual point of view. Vijay Vinay Sampani Brahma Suni Jaiva Shabhagaja Pandita Samadarsha, who is actually learning, who is actually a superior person, sees all living beings as equal. He doesn't see the bodies, but he sees the soul within the bodies. One time, Robert was having a discussion with the biggest cleric in France, Cardinal Danilou, head of the Catholic Church. And Cardinal Danilou was making a case for the slaughter of animals. One of his arguments was, we have a right to slaughter the animals because they don't understand metaphysics. Prabhupada said, physics means what? This body. Meta means beyond this body, above this body. We have a body, we're not a body. We have a body, we are spirit soul. Metaphysics means to understand yourself as distinct from the body. It's you who don't understand metaphysics, because if you understood metaphysics, you would understand that the soul in the body of the animal is equal to you. And unless it's a matter of life and death situation, you have no right to take the life of an animal on the basis of metaphysics, of all things. The very ones, human or animal or otherwise, that we overlook, we dismiss them because they're uneducated, they're not rich, they're not on our level, they could be the link to your stepping into the fullness of your destiny. Maharaj Rahugana, after he got a lesson in self-realization from Jad Bharat, got down off of his palanquin. He put his head at the feet of Jad Bharat. He took initiation from him, just as Chaitanya Swarup and Sundari Preet took initiation from His Holiness Radha Swami just last Sunday. The point is, you'll be amazed at who God's going to use. Historically speaking, Prabhupada came to the United States of America to spread this teachings of spirituality, of universality, of love and harmony, and not one of his godbrothers from India would help him. Letter after letter he wrote back, some money, some instruments, some men, and they just wrote Prabhupada off. They dismissed him. He's too old. He's not in good health. He's too much of a dreamer. He's like Don Quixote chasing after the windmills. Not only that, but they also didn't think that the Westerners were worth the effort. They're sinful. They're uncouth. They're addicted to all kinds of bad habits. The word that they used for the Westerners was malicious. And take it from me, it's not a compliment. They took the Westerners as incorrigible. There's a new video out celebrating the 50th anniversary of the founding of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's called 50 Years of Devotion and Joy. We were seeing it the other night for the second or third time. And Radhika Raman is one of the narrators. He says something to this point. He says, what Prabhupada attempted and succeeded in doing was extraordinary. His mission was to take the culture, the orthodox, conservative, highly moral, brahminical mindset of India and transplant it into the 1960s counterculture of America. And the two could not be possibly further apart from each other. And he did it. He did it because he didn't dismiss the hippies. In fact, he later said, I took the hippies and I made them happies, because he had that merciful mood of the spiritual master and Prabhu Nityananda. He became the door opener for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Westerners. He was the most unlikely person according to his peers and godbrothers, and yet Krishna awarded him success. The point is that promotion, success, does not come from the endorsement, the rubber stamping of other people. A lot of times the influential people to whom we apply for help or we're counting on, they're not up to the task of being doers. They themselves are too Scrooge and miserly to have the expansive mentality of spreading blessings to other people. And that's why door openers are not often the ones that we would expect. Because promotion doesn't come from people, promotion comes from God, and God loves to use the ones that are least likely. What I've learned is that respecting people is not always about what they could do for us. It's also what I can do for them. Instead of being concerned about what I could get, let's train ourselves to be more concerned about what we can give, about how we can make deposits in other people's lives. The test of maturity is how we treat someone who we don't think can help us. We can all be nice to the boss, nice to the cheerleader, nice to the captain of the football team, but if we want to meet our true door openers, we need to learn to be good to everyone. How often do we miss a gatekeeper because we divide people into friends, enemies, and neutral parties? When Hanuman promised Draupadi, as we read in the Mahabharata, that he would get her a certain flower which only grew in the Himalayan mountain of Gandhamandala, he was rushing along the forest paths, proud of having the strength of 10,000 elephants, roaring like a lion. You could hear him coming 10 miles away. His brother, Hanuman, thought he would play a trick on Bhima. Hanuman has the same father as Bhima. They're born of the wind god. Hanuman lay down on the path and disguised himself as an old, decrepit, weak, and sick monkey. So when Bhima came rushing along the path, he saw the tail of Hanuman across the path. And it's our culture. You never step over any part of anyone's body, because God pervades, the super soul pervades. So you don't put your foot over any part, even the extremities of anyone's body. Hanuman said, "Get out of the way. I'm important, and I'm on a mission headed for the Gandhamandala mountain to please my wife Draupadi. You're just an annoyance. You're just a nuisance. Make yourself scarce." Hanuman said, "Well, I'm so tired and sick and weak. I don't think I can even drag my poor carcass off to the side. Why don't you just lift up my tail and then proceed on your way?" Hanuman said, "If I have to lift your tail, you better be watch out that I don't at the same time twirl you around and throw you 100,000 miles away." He said, "Well, to take my chances on that." So being extremely irritated, extremely angry, and extremely aggravated because this old monkey is impeding him in his important mission, Bhima reaches down to yank the monkey's tail and yank the monkey up and teach him a good lesson. Teach him to respect his superiors. Unfortunately, when he reached down and yanked, he couldn't budge the tail an inch, no matter how hard he yanked. And remember, he had the strength of 10,000 elephants. So then he took his other hand, and then both hands, he started yanking. Not 1 millimeter. I hardly blame him. Now, Hanuman said, "There's more here than meets the eye." And he says, "Who are you? You're not just an old monkey." And then Hanuman revealed himself as young and strong. He had the power to make himself so big that his head would touch the clouds. And he said, "I am your brother, Hanuman. I just wanted to have a little fun with you." And Bhima bowed down, and Hanuman said, "I know that you're headed for the Gandhamandala mountain. You would have been killed. No mortal, I don't care how strong he is, has ever set foot on the Gandhamandala mountain. It's the playground of the demigods. They would have killed you. But I'm giving you safe passage. Not only that, I know that in the future, when you finish the terms of your exile, you'll face your cousins in a great world war. I'm telling you right now that I'm going to rise and place myself on the flag above the chariot of your brother Arjuna. And whenever there are critical moments in the battle, I'm going to roar and shake the heavens and shake the earth with my roar so that your opponents will lose their courage and you will surely be successful." Hanuman was Bhima's doorkeeper, but he hardly recognized him at first. So what does this tell us? Pay attention. Your destiny is not just between you and God, but it's tied to the people that God sends into your path. And when you realize that every person potentially is a doorkeeper, a link, then it's easy to treat everyone with respect and honor. When you make people feel loved, when you make them feel respected and appreciated, you then are going to meet those who are going to open doors for you. When you take time to help others, you are also helping yourself. When you're good to people, you're sowing seeds. Every seed that you sow, God notices it, and it will become a harvest of peace and joy and compassion and love and rich, intimate relationships. Every time you go out of your way to make someone feel special, Krishna sees it, and he will make sure that when you need it, he'll send the right people across your path. And remember, your door openers may not look like the people you'd anticipate. Therefore, learn to treat everyone with respect, not just the people that you think are important. When you're faithful with the small things, then Krishna will trust you with the big things. In the coming days, people are going to come across your path who hold the key to favor and increase. My encouragement is don't overlook them. Go out this week and be good to the people in your life. If you will learn to treat everyone like a doorkeeper, a door opener to your destiny, Krishna will open the right doors. He will send the right people. You will step into favor, into blessings, into promotion, into increase. And I believe that you'll become everything that Krishna has created you to be in this life. And in the next life, you'll go back home, back to God. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.